And welcome everyone to an extremely special episode of Podcast Them Softly. This is Nick, and of course I'm joined by Frank. What's going on, bud?
Hey, man.
We've been lucky enough to have been included by Sony Pictures for a discussion during their junket with the screenwriter of the new movie Arrival. His name is Eric Heiserer. And we thank everybody for including us on this, and we're just going to jump right into this chat with Eric because I know that our time is limited. So welcome to the show, and thanks so much for coming on.
Absolutely. Glad to be here.
How did this come about? I know it's based on a short story. Had you read that before the movie, you know, got into development, or were you a fan of it before?
I was. I had carried around his book of short stories for many a year, trying to get people in Hollywood to pay attention to him. And I had made it clear that if there were any sci-fi films that everyone would adapt from literature, it was A Story of Your Life. But it took a long time before I found anybody that really leaned in and listened. Part of it, of course, was the way that I pitched it to producers and to studio execs. I'd say it's very cerebral and it has a female lead and it deals with linguistic relativity. And at that point in time, eyes would glaze over and like, you know, nobody really knew what to do with a movie like that.
All right.
So I finally found some producers at 21 Laps who read the story and were as emotionally connected to it as I was. And I'm grateful that they took a chance and, you know, we sort of Voltroned up and tried to make it happen.
What fascinated me so much about the trailer and what really got me excited for this film, aside from the talent involved, was the geopolitical outlook. That was so thoughtfully layered into the film with the different world leaders and their reaction. How much of that was in the original story, and how much of that did you flesh out into the script?
All of that had to be built for the script. There's actually none of that in the short story. The short story is elegant and thoughtful and emotional and just a lovely piece of literary fiction that actually doesn't have any real conflict built into it. Part of that is because in the source material, the aliens actually don't show up at our door. We suddenly receive the appearance is a whole bunch of pieces of technology called looking glasses that you picture intergalactic TV screens, and we essentially had a long Skype conversation with the aliens and to try and decipher their language that way. And so the first major change that I made to the story during my adaptation was to bring them to our front door and have them arrive and make a legitimate first contact experience.
I've never seen, from the looks of the trailer, I was so struck and fascinated by that because I don't think I've ever really seen a film that deals with an alien invasion to where it's bounced around to another conflict of the different world leaders strifing at what we're going to do. As a world to either embrace, attack, or converse with the aliens. And I thought that was a really fascinating look and feel to the film.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very difficult undertaking when you discover that, you know, the people that have shown up at your door don't know your language and you don't know theirs. And without anything as a foundation for communication, you start throwing everything at the wall to see what sticks. There have been many drafts where we got to explore that and shared some time, just even looking on the monitors of the other sites and at the various other parts of the world. You know, the Japanese sent in a team of four cellists to play music to see if music had some sort of deeper resonance with the aliens. You know, somebody else tried to teach them sign language, and then we had, you know, a visual representation to see if color was something stronger for that, you know, anything that might be a way in to speaking to them. And that's where organically the idea from the Chinese came that they use, they end up using Mahjong because, you know, Mandarin has thousands of unique characters and is an incredible hard language to learn just at a pace for someone who's human, and to try and do it in a compressed time with an alien life form is, you know, a very difficult undertaking. So the language expert that I spoke with said they would likely find another model to try and communicate. And so we settled on a game, and that ends up playing a crucial or a pivotal part in the narration. You'll find out when you see the movie.
That's cool that you worked with a language expert, because, you know, again, judging from the trailer and from what I've read, this does not seem like a, you know, let's blow up the monuments type alien invasion movie. This seems like a very thoughtful, you know, meditation on a variety of different, you know, psychological aspects of life. And one of the things that I'm very excited to see the film, you know, for so many different reasons, but I feel like it's been a really long time since we've gotten a movie that has, you know, or I don't even really can't even think of, you know, one recent one that has really taken a hard look at what, you know, would happen, you know, if an alien civilization did show its face, you know, on Earth. So you had a chance to work with a linguist, and, you know, because obviously no one's ever had this experience. You know, their first inclination was to like you said, use music, or like you said, what would a linguist do? You know what I mean?
Well, you know, some of that was already built into the short story. So Ted had done a lot of the heavy lifting on that end. The most fascinating revelation that I had in the adaptation when I reached out to various experts, and I used an interesting program called the Science and Entertainment Exchange, which is an organization that is founded simply to try and connect people in the scientific field to people making movies so that you can try and make it as accurate as possible. I found out that there's a live team of top scientists and government/military personnel that exist. And there's a protocol for this very event. In the case of first contact by some extraterrestrial race, there is a binder in the Pentagon that immediately gets taken down and opened, and a list of names they get called. I call them the Nerd Avengers, but this is a real thing. And they're formed to try and figure out how to properly make first contact. And so I think Ted Chiang had done some of that homework already, or he's the sci-fi version of Tom Clancy and just happened upon it. But, you know, having someone like Louise and like Jeremy Renner's character, Ian Donnelly, are a natural part of that team.
When you were writing this and building the characters from the source material, at any point throughout your writing process, do you start to formulate different actors in mind, composites of who the character might be or might be on screen?
When I tried selling this early on, when I found the producers of the 21 Laps, who were committed to the project, we first attempted to set it up as a pitch. And when I pitch, I use cards, like visual index cards, and I print out photos of cast members for that in order to show what I'm thinking of for the cast. And back in 2011, I was using Amy Adams for the lead. So I found it amazing that when Denis Villeneuve and I sat down and started talking about cast for the first time, his first choice also was Amy Adams. And it's just one of those, you know, to use the dating metaphor, it's when you realize you and your date both have the same favorite book or something, you know?
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Denis Villeneuve is the director of the film. He's made some great films of late. Prisoners, Sicario, obviously he's working on the new Blade Runner. What was it like collaborating with him?
Completely delightful. I mean, really unlike any other collaboration I've had with a filmmaker. He saw it very much as a marriage and kept me as an intimate part of the production and pre-production. I hadn't felt like a true partner in the making of a film the way I had with him.
Yeah, because if I'm not mistaken, you are the writer, the sole writer on the film, correct? Aside from obviously, you know, Ted Chiang wrote the short story.
Correct. In terms of the screenplay, every word is mine.
What's your inspiration when you look at other films or other screenplays? What inspires you, or other writers that have inspired you, or films that have inspired you?
Oh, my goodness. Jennifer Fang had a film called Advantageous, and both the screenplay and the film for that just wrecked me. I thought they were masterful. I'm really drawn to the artful sci-fi that also has such a poppy sensibility that I've seen in the writing of John Spates. And I'm also friends with Gary Whitta, who's a commanding original spec writer who's done some pretty amazing stuff. And the fact that both, John and Gary have sci-fi films coming out this December makes me very excited. It's a great Christmas for us.
Yeah, it's great to have some science fiction movies on the horizon. I know you mentioned John Spates with Passengers and everything. Are you a believer yourself?
Am I a believer in what?
In UFOs, do you hope that one day we actually get a chance to meet a civilization that wants to talk and not destroy us?
Well, I think the line from Contact is sort of like, thanks to Carl Sagan, it would seem like a really big place if there weren't anyone else.